All right, let me jump on in now to the Right Side Way monologue. And I'll just, listen, I got to say, sometimes it appears that politics is like one of the few jobs where you don't have to be good or successful to maintain your position. I mean, think about it. To be sure, the vast majority of politicians still have to prove their worth at the polls. But even that is something that can be mitigated with the right level of funding or slick ads or the power of the incumbency. But every once in a while, a lack of success catches up and we see a shakeup. The U.S. Senate right now remains virtually deadlocked in Democrat hands by a narrow majority. Under Senator Mitch McConnell's Republican watch and on his terms, the Republican Senate leadership actually snatched defeat from the jaws of victory during the 2022 midterms. The House is somewhat better with a minor Republican majority, and they have had their internal upheavals. They've gone through speakers from McCarthy to Johnson. And there's been no mandate, no supermajority, no ability to get anything done because no one has enough control or leadership to do it. And then there's the White House, where they are not even trying to pretend anymore. Joe Biden is effectively asleep at the wheel and literally leaves for his beach house every single weekend. Disasters happen, wars start, and Joe sits with his toes in the sand while Kamala campaigns for the right to his throne. Look, if we're to see true change, meaningful change, then we must win back the House, take back the Senate, and regain the White House. It's a three-part package. It is not just about the presidency, it's about all of them. But the issue, though, is not just who gets elected. It's also going to be one of leadership. Because the next election cycle is just over 30 days away, and at the end of it all, we need to see some new blood, some change out in positions. Because if the current leadership is allowed to keep their positions despite having produced nothing worthwhile, then we should expect more of the same chaos that we've been enduring for the past 4 years. It is time for some measure of accountability to be felt by those who have presided over the vast nothingness, and I'm talking Democrats and Republicans, the vacuum of leadership that currently presides over our federal government. Well, history dictates that a change in leadership is sometimes the only cure for the malaise of mediocrity. And make no mistake, the results of our cacistocracy that we're watching right now are mediocre at best. And some would say, and I agree, that they have been in many ways disastrous. We've watched Biden and a polarized House and Senate just tear down the very fabric of our nation. Using Biden's whole-of-government approach, they have attacked the whole of America, culturally, spiritually, economically, legally, morally. We cannot approach this election coming up with anything less than a massive level of determination that we want better. In fact, we deserve better. And it means changing out leadership. And to be honest, there's so much damage to be undone, so many tangled webs to unwind that what we need is someone who will come in like a bull in a china shop. And it's going to take that level of determination and grit like we haven't seen in modern years. We don't have the luxury of slipping into niceties and bridging divides with smooth talk. Our nation needs someone who will get results and get them fast. Teddy Roosevelt, when he was president, he once said that when it came to building the Panama Canal, he decided to move forward quickly because he knew that it would become bogged down in tedious debate and the moment would be lost. So in his words, quote, "I decided that rather than let them debate the canal, that I just build it and let them debate me." I mean, can we get a Congress, a Senate, a White House with that level of moxie? In March of 1864, Abraham Lincoln was considering what to do with the on-again, off-again results that were being handed to him by his top generals. The results of the losses at places like Shiloh and the slow and painful efforts in the attempts to seize control of the Mississippi River, Lincoln's top general McClellan and the Army of the Potomac, they were just plodding along in his view. And Shiloh, well, that battle was a rout with epic losses, really on both sides. But there was one man that caught Lincoln's eye. Ulysses S. Grant was unconventional. He was a graduate of West Point. He had resigned his commission a few years prior to the war. He had been unsuccessful, though, in life outside the Army. And when the war broke out, Grant returned, and despite resistance from some, he was given a charter to lead as what was known as a, quote, commissioned volunteer. But he proved himself over and over again. Man was rough as a cob. He was alleged to be a heavy drinker. Grant was nonetheless, though, a common man in an uncommon job getting very uncommon results. So after the Battle of Shiloh, Grant took full responsibility, but then he reinforced his lines, he countered the Confederate attacks, and he re-seized the Pittsburgh Landing. But he had detractors. He was despised by the establishment. Go figure. He was an upstart that high society and comfortable generals said could not be trusted. But on one occasion, Lincoln was actually urged to fire him, but Lincoln is said to have responded, "I can't spare this man. He fights." Well, soon after that, Grant went on to seize Vicksburg and Chattanooga and Knoxville, and he captivated the nation. And in March of 1864, Lincoln came to the determination that mediocrity kills, and that he needed to shake things up by changing out the leadership of the Union forces. So Lincoln looked for the one thing that actually worked. He looked for the man that was actually getting results, and for the first time since George Washington, the rank of lieutenant general was created, and Grant pinned on a third star and took charge of all Union forces. In the end, Grant and Lincoln became fast friends, and together they forged a victory that reunited the United States. Grant was actually supposed to have been with Lincoln at Ford's Theater the night of his assassination, but he had declined because his wife did not want to attend the theater. A change in leadership. I mean, what would have happened if Lincoln had listened to all of the establishment do-nothings? I mean, what if Lincoln had handed the reins to somebody more acceptable simply because they knew how to get along with others? The establishment wanted someone more like them, more like their sensible notions of what it means to compromise and to maintain the status quo. But Lincoln didn't acquiesce. He appointed Grant, they won the war, and they saved the nation. Now stop and think about what that means. They saved the nation with a change of leadership. And then just 50 years later, the United States helped win the First World War. And just 80 years after Grant was appointed, the United States saved the whole world again in World War II. Would any of that have happened if there had been an accommodation to the establishment leaders and Grant had never been appointed? Because it was after Lincoln changed out the leadership and appointed Grant that the United States saw things like the invention of manned flight, the mass assembly line productions, the building of the world's greatest economy and the strongest military. All of it came in the wake of changing leadership. So flip the script back here to our current state of politics. If the current heads of the House and Senate caucuses and the Democrats in the White House are allowed to maintain their positions in the wake of feckless results, then it's only going to be because of establishment wing of politics caved in and decided to go along to get along. Y'all, it is time for a change. It is time for leaders who can fight. We have to see the results that we want. We need a fresh set of eyes with a gunslinger attitude. We need to elect and appoint new leaders, the kind that we can look at like Lincoln did of Grant and say, huh, we can't spare them. They know how to fight. I'm telling you, a change in leadership can change the world. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Well, there you have it. A little bit of history, but also just a bit of philosophy on leadership. Because there are times when if leadership is not getting it done, that the person who is in charge in the end has to look at it and go, I need a fresh set of eyes. You're relieved, you're in charge. That's what happened with Grant. It changed the world. Bill Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.